Welcome to Life After Journalism, in which we hear from the people who brought us the news and see what they're up to now that they've moved on with their lives. I'm your host, Matt Smith, and as the minute waltz fades away, we ask that the studio audience please make today's guest feel welcome, Michael Gawenda. Michael spent most of his career with The Age, as a journalist and later as the editor-in-chief. He became known for his feature writing and won 3 Walkley Awards. He was later the founding director of the Centre for Advanced Journalism at the University of Melbourne.
I actually studied economics at Monash University. My majors were in statistics and economics. Always wanted to be a journalist. I can remember while I was doing my degree, this is a long time ago now, I applied several times for a cadetship at The Age and the then Sun News Pictorial. But when I graduated and went to work for the Department of Labor, I kept applying. I wanted to be a journalist. I wanted to be a journalist writer from when I was very young. I eventually got a cadetship. Now, it was unusual. Back then, there were 4-year cadetships. Most people went in straight after school. I only had to do 1 year because I was a graduate. I was interested, of course, in media. I was interested in the world and around me. And my interest was always based on interest in the world, but wanting to write about the world. Of course, when I started, that's what everybody did.
Did you find that your economics degree background was a good grounding at all?
No, not at all. I never wanted to be a business reporter. I never wanted to be an economics reporter. I didn't broadcast too widely that I had a degree in economics. That's not the sort of journalism that I wanted to do. I suppose any sort of university degree might be helpful in some way in terms of how you do research, but I don't think it was particularly helpful for me, no.
What was journalism like in those days? How do you see it changed?
There was no talk about, do newspapers have a future? Does journalism have a future? Newspapers were top of the heap in terms of journalism, and we were at one of the best newspapers in the country, if not the world. When I started, it felt like I was in the place where I wanted to be. There was confidence about the future of newspapers. There was confidence about the future of journalism. I didn't stay there very long, by the way. I stayed there 2 or 3 years and then went to the Sun News Pictorial because they were going to send me to Canberra. And they had a great editor in Harry Gordon at the time. It was very different than it is now. I can't remember any talk about do newspapers have a future. Really, for the whole of the 1970s was a period of expansion, actually, of resources of newspapers. Newspapers grew in size and in staff numbers. You know, there was money to send people away. There was no talk about closing overseas bureaus. In fact, all the talk was about opening overseas bureaus. So it was a period of optimism and confidence in journalism, which I suppose contrasts rather sadly with where we are today.
Now it's hard to remember the times when there wasn't talk about the closure of newspapers and how the industry's shrinking.
That's true. I've got to say, Matt, I can remember when there was no talk of this. I mean, even when, you know, in the 90s and early 2000s when I was editing The Age, there was talk about challenges, but there wasn't talk about, you know, newspapers might have to close. So, yes, it was a different time.
You won 3 Walkleys for feature stories. What are some of the elements that you think make an effective feature story?
I actually think that features require the same level of accuracy, depth of research, ability to structure a story so that it will be read from the beginning to the end, developing a journalistic voice that is authentic without being too much of III. Basics. Sometimes people make the mistake of thinking features are just about so-called good writing. But I don't think that, obviously, good writing is important, but good writing is important anywhere in a newspaper.
What about those stories in particular?
I'll just mention 2 of them, right? I mean, the first one was in 1982, and it involved me spending a couple of weeks living in a housing commission flat in Richmond in Melbourne. I did that because there had been a spate of suicides at those flats. I think there were 2 or 3 a week for sometimes. You know, the editors decided that one way of tackling this is to get me to go and spend some time at the flats. It was my idea in the end that I find a way of living there. So I do think that was a kind of unique piece of journalism that involved me living in a place where things were happening and getting a feel of the place and writing about it without revealing names of people, because I didn't identify myself as a journalist. So that was an interesting experience, and it certainly led to a lot of talk about what was wrong with the flats, what security was missing, why people lived in such despair in this particular block of flats. The second one was 6 years later, I think, was for Time magazine rather than for The Age. And it was a different sort of piece. The first piece was a piece of narrative, a story that had a beginning and an end and described life. The second piece was a much more deeply researched piece. It was a piece about the proposed Nazi war crimes trials in Australia.
Mm.
Now, that piece took me weeks to do. I had to research the background of these trials, what had happened overseas, about the communities in Australia that had people that allegedly had been war criminals. And it was a piece that tried to be objective as far as possible, but certainly fair to the people who were involved in the debate over this issue. And
right.
I think I achieved that. So
yeah.
That was a very different piece. But again, I mean, it did require a structure. It did require a depth of research and accuracy that all pieces of good journalism require.
So it sounds like the first story really involved your voice, and the second story you were much more objective and not a part of the story yourself.
I wasn't part of the story in the second.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. The first one was a much more me story. My voice was important.
Mm.
In the second one, it wasn't about me, and I kept myself, and as far as I could, my opinions about what was going on out of it, so that I believe that at the end of reading this, I think it was 6,000 or 7,000 words long, people wouldn't have known what my opinion was on this, even though I had explored all the sides of this debate as thoroughly as I could.
When you became an editor at The Age, how much did your job change?
When I became editor of The Age, I had left The Age. Actually, I was going to freelance and I was going to write books. Then the job offer came along in 1997 and I felt like I had to take it. So my life changed utterly and completely. I mean, being an editor is very challenging. You know, your life revolves around it. I got up early in the morning so that I could read the papers and listen to the radio. I was in the office by, I suppose, 8:30. I never left before 8:30, 9 o'clock. Then I would go home and I would check pages at home. So it was a different life than writing. What do I bring to it? Look, I'd never been a sub-editor. I'd never been a news editor. I'd been a writer. What I brought with it was a sense of what makes a good story, an ability, I hope, to inspire younger people to improve their skills and become better journalists.
Mm.
I think they're the main things that I brought to it.
In 2009, you became the inaugural director of the Centre for Advanced Journalism at the University of Melbourne. Why did you decide to move to what is in part an academic role?
Well, look, I stepped down as editor of The Age in 2004. I'd been editor for 7 years, which was a very long stint, certainly in Australian terms.
Mm.
I stepped down and asked, and this was always my deal with them, with Fairfax, that when I stepped down, I would go back to writing for 3 years and I would have a choice of the writing job that I would do. It was always going to be Washington. So I went to Washington for 3 years. At the end of 2007, I came back. I resigned from The Age, from Fairfax. I couldn't see a role for me, and there was no role that I wanted. I certainly didn't want to go onto the business side of Fairfax. So I left, and I always had intended that to be the case. Again, I was going to focus on writing. I had book deals. I had written a book about America. I had other book ideas. When Glyn Davis, the Vice Chancellor of Melbourne, approached me and asked me whether I'd be interested in setting up a Centre for Journalism at the University of Melbourne, which would eventually grow, we hoped, into a School of Journalism, starting with a Master's and then other things. I agreed to do this. I thought that it was a chance for me to give something back to journalism. We set up the centre. I'm not an academic. The centre didn't teach at the beginning for the first 2 years when I was director. We did a research project into the coverage of the Black Saturday bushfires, which was a major piece of research. We received an ARC grant to do a journalism training program for Sudanese Australians. We did a research project for federal government into the way early childhood is covered. So we did some research And it was very important that we get that ARC grant. At the same time, we had a public program. I always believed that the role of a centre like ours was to get journalists to come along and speak to the general community about why they do the things they do, and to get other people to come along and discuss their view of journalism. So we did that. My goal was always to get the centre set up. I was happy to do that. It was a part-time job, not a full-time job. I was writing at the same time. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was nowhere near as intense as being an editor, which was a good thing. And I saw it as a transition from one life to another, from the life of a full-time, fully engaged journalist and editor to something different. And where I always thought I was heading was not to retirement where I would do nothing, but to a life where I would spend most of my time writing, which is where I am now. I stepped down from the job as director last year. It was always my goal to do so. I'm still involved with the centre on my research projects. And we have a new director in Margaret Simons. We have a master's in journalism starting up this year, which is very exciting. And so once I saw that all those goals that I had set myself were achieved, it was time to move on, and that's what I've done.
What is it that you think young journalists need to learn more than anything else at the moment? What did you start the Masters of Journalism with in mind?
I wanted to set up a master's program that would be specifically aimed at journalists who were already working in the media or were freelancers or were close to mid-career, who wanted to improve their skills, their writing skills, their research skills, who wanted a chance to reflect on what the future of journalism might be and where they might fit into that future, what the new digital world means in terms of what sort of job opportunities there will be, how you build your name as a journalist. And I hope that's what the Masters will offer. Obviously, we're going to take students as well, but I would hope that there'll be some journalists who will see the benefit of having time to consider those issues and doing some study in that sort of area, and being taught by, I hope, practitioners, the best that we can find.
What is one piece of advice that you could give to all emerging journalists?
I think that to be a successful journalist, you have to be dogged. You have to be open to learning. You have to be interested in the world around you. You've got to take setbacks and you've got to keep going. If you keep going, you're going to be okay.
Michael Gawenda there. Next week on Life After Journalism, we'll be speaking to Matthew Ricketson, a former journalist with The Age, The Australian, and Time Magazine Australia.